The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have created us to live in loving community with one another. Form us for life that is faithful and steadfast, and teach us to trust like little children, that we may reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world.
The first reading is a reading from Job. There was once a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. One day, the heavenly beings came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He still persists in his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him for no reason." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Skin for skin. All that people have, they will give to save their lives. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, he is in your power. Only spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and inflicted loathsome sores on Job, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Job took a potsherd with which to scrape himself and sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as any foolish woman would speak. Shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 26 responsibly. Give judgment for me, O Lord, for I have lived with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered.
Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind.
For your steadfast love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you.
I have not sat with the worthless, nor do I consort with the deceitful.
I have hated the company of evildoers. I will not sit down with the wicked.
I will wash my hands in innocence, O Lord, that I may go in procession round your altar.
Singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and recounting all your wonderful deeds.
Lord, I love the house in which you dwell and the place where your glory lies.
Do not sweep me away with sinners, nor my life with those who thirst for blood.
Whose hands are full of evil plots, and their right hands full of bribes.
As for me, I will live with integrity. Redeem me, and be gracious to me.
I take my stand on level ground. In the full assembly, I will bless the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is a reading from Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus. For a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Word of God, word of life. The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord. Well, I'm happy to be able to not preach on this gospel today and let Don Snowden preach on the gospel.
Where are you, God? If we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit there have been times in our lives, there are times, perhaps even now, when we find ourselves struggling to understand what God is doing, wondering why certain kinds of things have happened, happened in our lives, happened in the lives of those around us, and especially in the lives of those we love. Why are there pain and suffering, fears and uncertainties? Why can life at times be so difficult? Where are you, God? Don't you hear my prayers? Or perhaps our concerns are broader, with more of a worldview. Why is there starvation in many parts of the world? What can be done? Why are there devastating earthquakes and tsunamis? Why does there continue to be war and strife in the world? The potential of terrorist attack. Will the proliferation of nuclear weapons continue? What will be the consequences of global warming? Do we have the knowledge, the ability to change it? Will the world economy be righted soon? Or will the consequences of what's been happening these last few years continue for many, many more years to come? Where are you, God? Don't you hear my prayers? Why don't you respond? But perhaps, in spite of the concerns about personal problems in your own lives, the lives of your loved ones, about the many problems that are worldwide, your greatest concerns might be for the church, for the conflicts in which it seems immersed, and as well for the church's apparent irrelevance in these days for so many, many people, and indeed the possible connection between those two. Why can't we be more loving with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, more willing to listen, to discuss, to care about one another's thoughts? Why can't we live lives which proclaim the gospel to the world, to show, to share God's love for all of his creation? Where are you, God? Don't you hear my prayer? Why don't you respond? Don't you care? Well, God does, of course, care. But so often we're completely caught up in the specific concerns about one situation or another that we can't see God acting in it, can't see God's response to our prayers. He's not doing what we think he should do, or he's not doing it as swiftly as we want him to, or so many other reasons why we fail to see God in our lives. But how do we get past these doubts, these uncertainties? How do we know that God is there for us, with us, when we think that nothing we can see shows that he is? All we have, it seems, is darkness. There's no light. All is doubt and confusion. But we do have much, much more. We have God's word expressed in Holy Scripture. God's promises, promises of his care, of his love, of his presence in our lives. God has promised us peace in our lives, peace which passes all understanding if we would but let him know our cares, our needs, our concerns. And we can be sure that that peace is always ours because he's promised to never leave us or forsake us. But as much as we long to believe these promises, to incorporate them into our lives right now, to know God's peace, to know that he has not forsaken us, the events all around us can at times still seem to imply that that might not be true. Are we just deceiving ourselves? And it's then that we must look to Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, the Son through whom God has spoken to us, the one who shows the true depth of God's love for us. Jesus Christ, with God at the creation, appointed heir of all things, the sustainer of all things, the reflection of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's being, as the writer to the Hebrews says in our second lesson this morning. And also Jesus Christ, come to earth in human form and made for a while a little lower than the angels, just as all humans are. He who tasted death for you and for me, for all who call him Lord, so that we may be made holy before the Lord. The pioneer, the author of our salvation, one not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. What a message God has for us in this living word. The one who is heir of all things and through whom God created all the worlds, the universe, created all that is. He shows us who God is by being the reflection of God's glory. Several other translations say the radiance of God's glory, the shining of God's glory, the exact imprint or expression of God's very being, his nature. He sustains, he upholds us in all things. And yet this living word, this expression of God's being, came to earth taking on the status, the nature of humankind. Came to earth that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone, to bring us to glory, to become the pioneer, the author, the founder, the source of our salvation. And finally, he is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. The one who is heir to all things calls us his sisters and his brothers, joint heirs with Christ, as Paul says in his letter to the Romans. What an amazing gift from God. These are the truths which we must remember when we find ourselves asking, "Where are you, God? Don't you hear my prayers? Why don't you respond? Don't you care?" God cares, and he showed us that in the most amazing way. That we must never forget. He's with us every moment of our lives. He hears our prayers, knows our needs and concerns much more fully and completely than we can ever know them. His response is beyond our imagining. He cares for all of us, for all of his creation, as he told us when he spoke to us through his Son, and as he continues to speak to us through that Son each day of our lives. If we could only make this belief just to be a part of us, to be within our very being, if we could only believe what God is doing in the world or in our lives is right, even when it can at times can seem so contrary to what we think right should be. Why is it so hard for us to believe? Why do our doubts, our uncertainties, really our blindness, keep us from seeing God's love and care every moment of our lives? There are sure, I'm sure, many reasons, perhaps common to all of us, and perhaps some that are unique to each of us. I'd like to share a story with you that perhaps might point to one important reason that keeps us from, many times, from not fully trusting God. When I first heard this story many years ago, it's a true story. It seemed to be just a cute story about a young boy whom I knew, but which as the years have gone by, more than 40 of them now, I've come to recognize it to be something much more, an important lesson in trusting the Lord. At the time, Jonathan was probably 5 or 6 years old. Many were praying for a lady in our congregation, a wife and a mother, who'd recently been diagnosed with a virulent form of cancer. was the habit in Jonathan's family for either for him or one of his two older brothers to lead family prayers at the table before dinner. And one evening, after he'd completed his prayers, one of his parents reminded him they should pray for Mrs. Morris, the lady with cancer. Jonathan's reply was very simple and straightforward. "We don't need to. We prayed for her last night." In Jonathan's mind, the Lord had been told about the concern, the need, and that was all that was necessary. There was no reason to keep repeating the request over and over again. He knew God had heard, and he knew God would respond. His simple childlike faith was most amazing, a faith that was greater than that of either his mother or his father, our pastor, and it was greater than the faith of many of us time and time again. It's the kind of faith that Jesus was talking about in our gospel lesson today when he responded to the disciples who were trying to keep the little children from bothering him. "Let the little children come to me, do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter into it." If we could only understand the kingdom of God, the rule of God in our lives, with the trust and faith of a child, with faith that's undoubting, with trust that is complete, with this true knowledge in our hearts and our minds that God knows our concerns, has heard our prayers, is in the midst of dealing with them. Sometimes in ways very, very different than we could possibly imagine. He hears our prayers if they're expressed only once or if they're expressed time and time again. Even prayers that we perhaps cannot fully articulate, prayers spoken only with sighs too deep for words. God does respond in many and different ways and at different times, often in ways that we can only see and understand when we look back on the events, things that seem so unclear, so uncertain as we're living through them, can be so clear when we look back and can see God's hand in our lives and the lives of our loved ones so very clearly. What a beautiful gift that is. God does care. He's shown that love by speaking to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. May we understand that today and every day with eyes like those of a child, as a forgiven and redeemed child of God. Amen.